Leviticus 25 and verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." This is Pastor Wynn Greer, and I would like to welcome you today to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. This is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We are located 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road. I would like to take a moment to invite you to come and be with us in any or all of our services. We have Wednesday night prayer meeting at 7 p.m. every Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday school for all ages at 10 a.m. and then at 11 a.m. our Sunday morning worship service, preaching service. We'd love for you to come be with us. We are thankful for the opportunity to be here on the radio. And I want to say good morning to my son Noah. He's here today, and I appreciate him. He's got an announcement he's going to make, and welcome our visitors as well.
Good morning. I do. I have a special announcement for the homecoming at Mount Ephraim Baptist Church this Sunday, August 26th at 10 a.m. They're going to have a special singing with the Redeemed Trio, and then a 11 a.m. service with Delmer James. Everyone is welcome, and they're going to have a meal after the service, and that's at Mount Ephraim Baptist Church. And we also want to say welcome this morning to all our listeners, those listening in right here on AM 1450 WATA in Boone, North Carolina, and also those who are listening in on AM 690 in Bristol, Virginia.
We do appreciate our listeners, and I said visitors, but I meant listeners. But really, if nobody knows, you know, sometimes live radio can be difficult. So one thing about it, you can't back up and start over, can you?
No.
We also have a new radio station that we are on, and we are very blessed and thankful for the opportunity to be on KPGT 89.1 FM, The Truth, in Watertown, South Dakota. This is a ministry of the Harvest Baptist Church. And our good brother in the Lord, fellow pastor, Brother Lamar Whittemore, we appreciate him so much and the work that they're doing in Watertown, South Dakota. And you can hear the Blessings of Liberty there on Saturdays at noon. And so we want to welcome our listeners on KPGT, and we appreciate you listening in very much. And we have been bringing a series of messages out of Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 10. We're going to go back there today and pick up where we left off last week. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 10, the Bible says, "The bricks are fallen down, but we will build with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars." And this is 9 or 10 weeks we've been studying and looking at Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 10. I do realize we have some new listeners, and maybe somebody just has tuned in today for the first time, and you've not listened in and heard all we've been talking about and saying and teaching about out of this passage of Scripture. But if I was just going to give a real quick summary of what we've looked at so far in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 10, I would summarize it by saying we've seen the action. The bricks are falling down. The sycamores are cut down. We're talking there about the attack by the Assyrian army upon the nation of Israel many years ago during the days of Isaiah, 732 years before Christ, somewhere right along in there. The bricks are falling down. This is what happened. There's the action, but then there's the attitude of the nation. They said, "We will build, but we will build with hewn stones." Talk about the sycamores are cut down. "We will change them into cedars." So they didn't listen. They didn't pay attention at the judgment of God, the breach of security in the nation, the attack by the Assyrians. It did not faze them. It did not bother them. They just took it as a good opportunity to remodel. "We will build with hewn stones. We will change them into cedars. We will. We will." And so there's the action. Then there's the attitude. But then what we started looking at last week and what we're going to look at again today, there's the after. What happened after that? Everything that happened after the first incursion up to the captivity, the Babylonian captivity. And in order to look at that, we would have to study the rest of the book of Isaiah, the book of Jeremiah, the book of Ezekiel, all the other what we call pre-exile prophets, all the other prophets that preached and prophesied before the Babylonian captivity. Now, we do not have time to go through all of that. There'd be no way. There'd be no way. I guess we could if we took 4 or 5 years to look at all of that. But we don't have time to look at all that. We're going to look at some of the things, some of the key things that happened after Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 10. Now, let me say, the after depends upon the attitude. As long as the nation continued on in an unrepentant, prideful, rebellious attitude, the course to the judgment of God remains the same. There's no change in the course until there's a change in the attitude. Several months ago, I took some time and I went through a little book, How to Kill 6 Million People or 10 Million People. I can't remember now exactly how many it was, but that was the book. And in that book, there was a little phrase that said, direction determines destination. So the direction that we're headed in determines where we're going to end up at. And until we change our direction, we're not going to change our destination. Now, I've said this before. I do not claim to know the future. But I do believe if we study the Bible, if we study history, if we study current events, we're going to have a pretty good idea of what is happening and what is getting ready to happen in the world. We study the Bible because the Bible is the Word of God. And it does tell us the future. Did you know that? The Bible tells us future events. Well, somebody said, well, I thought the Bible was a historical book. Well, it does contain history, and it was written in the past. We are now, from the aspect of when the Bible was written, we are in that future. We are in the future. The Bible tells us the future. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1, the Bible says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. You study the Bible, you're going to learn the future. You study history. Why should we study history? Because history repeats itself over and over and over again. The Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, verse number 9, King Solomon said, the thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. If you go all the way back to Genesis chapter 11, you read the account over there of the rise and fall of the Tower of Babel. They said, let us build us a city and a tower unto heaven. They were gonna be a name unto themselves. But what we see is God went down. God confounded the languages. God dispersed them abroad. And so you see there the beginning of the rise and fall of nations. And that same thing has happened over and over and over again. A nation will come to power. They will rise to great prominence. They will have great power. And through their pride, they will fall. And that has happened over and over and over again because history repeats itself. And then we should study and know something about current events because that lets us know where we are in time. For example, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. In the last days perilous times shall come. This is what the Bible, the Word of God, tells us. And so then, following after that, in verses 2 through 5, there are 19 headlines that you could find in this week in the news. It goes on. It says, men shall be covetous, boasters, proud, unthankful, unholy, despisers of those that are good, lovers of pleasures, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And it goes on and tells about all these things that will be prevalent in the last days. We're living in those days. That is where we are on God's timeline of events. So America right now today is a nation that is in defiance of God in spite of past judgments. We're trusting in ourselves. We have an attitude of self-reliance. I will do this. We will do this. We will build better. We will come back stronger than ever before. The Obama motto from 2008, the presidential campaign, yes, we can. Yes, we can. This has become the national attitude. Now, I don't have time to point it all out today, but I can tell you from Scripture where that attitude comes from. That self-reliant, prideful attitude comes from the devil. Over in Isaiah chapter 14 and verse number 12, the Bible says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground that didst weaken the nations?" And it goes on down and it explains why God cast the devil out of heaven. It says, "For thou hast said in thine heart," this is what Lucifer said, "I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." You see, the reason Lucifer was cast out of heaven to begin with is because he determined in his heart that he would be greater than God. And it says in verse number 12, it says about Lucifer. Now, Lucifer is Satan. It says, "O Lucifer, son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations?" Do you know when we are lifted up in pride, we are weaker, not stronger. We are weaker now in America than we've ever been before because we're filled with this self-reliance, this self-pride, what we are going to do, what we will do. And so we're not in a place of strength like we were when we were humble. We are in a place of weakness because we're in a place of pride. Now, last week, I began to read in Ezekiel chapter number 14, and I'm going to go back over there today to Ezekiel chapter number 14. Ezekiel chapter number 14 talks about the nation that is under certain judgment. The judgment of God is certain, and there is no escape from it. There is no escape. Verse number 21, the Bible said, "For thus saith the Lord God, how much more when I send my four sore judgments upon Jerusalem, the sword and the famine and the noisome beast and the pestilence to cut off from it man and beast. Yet behold, therein shall be left a remnant that shall be brought forth, both sons and daughters. Behold, they shall come forth unto you, and ye shall see their way and their doings, and ye shall be comforted concerning the evil that I brought upon Jerusalem, even concerning all that I brought upon it." Now, God was going to destroy Jerusalem, and they were going to be taken away in the Babylonian captivity, but God said he would leave a very small remnant. But he said in verse number 23, "And they shall comfort you when ye see their ways and their doings, and ye shall know that I have not done without cause all that I have done in it, saith the Lord God." God says, now there's a reason for this. "You will see that I have not done this without cause. All that I have done in it, saith the Lord God." And so there's a cause, there's a reason why the judgment of God comes upon individuals, churches, counties, states, nations, businesses, circumstances. There is always a cause. People look and say, "Why did that happen?" I'll tell you, there's always a cause. There's always a reason we can find if we're honest enough to seek and search it out. The Bible says in Proverbs 26 and verse number 2, "As the bird by wandering and the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come." When the curse comes, There's always a reason. What the Bible is saying right there is something caused it to happen. Now, I was reading this morning in Deuteronomy chapter number 28, and I don't have time to go over there. There's about 68 verses in Deuteronomy chapter number 28, and then there's another long chapter in Leviticus chapter number 26, and I just call those the blessings or the cursing chapter, because what God says there to the children of Israel, for example, Deuteronomy 28 verse number 1, God said, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, he's saying, if you will listen. And he goes on down for about 15 or 16 verses, and he basically says, I will bless you, these blessings will come upon you, these blessings will overtake you, you will not have room enough to receive all the blessings that I'll give you if you will hearken diligently unto my voice, is what God says. And so he says, you'll be the head and not the tail. I'll bless you in the field, I'll bless you in your fruit, I'll bless you in the womb, I'll bless you with your cattle. You'll be the lender, not the borrower. You'll be at the top, you'll not be at the bottom. I mean, there's a long list of the blessings of God. But he comes down to verse number 15, and he says, but if thou wilt not hearken, and he turns the whole thing around, and he says to the nation, if you do not listen to me, I'm going to bring all these curses upon you. And you'll be cursed in the field, and you'll be cursed in your house, and you'll be cursed in your land and in your fruit, and you will become a borrower, not a lender, and you'll become the tail and not the head. And there's a long list of curses that God says he will bring upon the nation that does not listen. Now, it's not hard to figure out where we are as a nation, if we're in the blessing category or we're in the cursed category. And I do realize that there are still in America many blessings of God. But if you are honest and you really look around at what is happening in our nation, we are set up like a house of cards, and it would not take much until our whole way of life is thrown upside down and inside out. And 9/11/2001 would look like a kindergarten schoolyard fight compared to what could happen in the United States of America. God said to the nation that would not repent and change its direction, God said, I will send my four sore judgments. Now, there's a lot of symbolism. There's a lot of things we could say about the number four in the Bible. I do not have time to deal with that. You could go to our church website, pull up the message that I preached on this, and you could listen to the whole series that I preached it live. And there's just a lot more that I'm able to bring out in church than I am on the radio broadcast. But here in Ezekiel chapter 14 in verse number 21, he said, for thus saith the Lord God, how much more when I send my four sore judgments upon Jerusalem. And these, when we see these four judgments begin to be manifested in our nation, we will know that our end is very near as far as being a nation, the nation that God has blessed more than any other nation in the world. We are, I'll just put it like this, we're in serious trouble with the Lord, because we can definitely see these four sore judgments beginning to be manifested in the United States of America. There's the sword, the famine, the noisome beast, and the pestilence. And I know how people are. They say, we've always had fires. We've always had floods. We've always had earthquakes. We've always had tornadoes. We've always had dry spells. We've always had wildfires. There's always been war, and on and on and on. And when I hear that, I want to say, no, we've not. We have not had in America what we have seen in America in the past 20 years. If you took the time to study it out and really look at what has gone on in the past 20 years in America, they have been so much more. It's not been your average hurricanes. It's not been your average scuffle with the enemy. It's not been your average dry spells, your average hurricanes, and on and on and on we could go. I mean, I grew up in western North Carolina, the mountains, and we've always been told we don't have tornadoes in the mountains. Well, evidently that's not, you can't say that anymore. Now we do, and we have had tornadoes in the mountains, and I mean on and on and on. We could bring out examples, but specifically God said there's four things, my four sword judgments that I send upon a nation to destroy. And he said, first of all, he said, my four sword judgments, the sword. Now, the sword is warfare. It could be war that is within our borders. It could be war that comes without our borders. I mean, from an outside enemy. It could be civil warfare. It could be civil unrest. It could be any number of things. Just recently, now I grew up during what they call the Cold War. Russia was bad, America was good. Russia was our enemy. We wanted to defeat them. We wanted to defeat them in the Olympics. I mean, every hand, every chance, every opportunity that we could, we wanted to defeat the godless, atheistic, America-hating nation of Russia. And so now we feel like, well, the Cold War is over. Do you know, last month, you don't hear a lot about this on the news, but over this past summer, there has been Russian bombers that have once again, not since the Cold War has this happened like it's happened in the past, over this summer, there's been Russian bombers enter the airspace, our airspace in the United States of America. And this happened up in Alaska and off the coast of California, and our fighters were scrambled to go out to escort them out of our airspace back into their airspace. Russia still hates America and would love to see America destroyed. Last month, in July, there was a Russian nuclear submarine spent about a month off the Gulf of Mexico in our waters undetected, and they did not know it was even there until it had already left. One of our senators is inquiring. Listen to me. One of our senators is upset about this and inquiring, how in the world could a Russian nuclear sub spend a month off our coast and us not know that it was there? Oh, I could go example after example. Don't think the sword couldn't come to America. During the Civil War, it's estimated that 700,000 people were killed on both sides. This is not ancient history. This is something that happened 150 years ago in America. There's so many things not good in America. There's our border with Mexico. There's the Russians. There's North Korea. There's a escalation of violence in our country between the right and the left. There's terrorist groups in America that would love to see us destroyed. You know, there's a magazine for terrorists. I read about this. I forget the name of it. I think it's called In Flame or something like that. But anyway, I read this headline, how that this magazine has come out teaching terrorists how to set wildfires in America. The sword I'm talking about, the sword could come to America. It's not good that our United States military has been turned over to homosexuality, and that's being allowed and encouraged. It's not good that our law enforcement community is now being militarized. It's not good that drones are spying on Americans. The sword could come to our nation in many different ways. Then he said, not only is there the sword, but there's famine. July 31st, CNN Money article said this: corn prices surged to a new record high Tuesday as the worst drought in more than 50 years continues to plague more than half the country. Almost 90% of the United States corn crops are in drought, ravaged areas, according to the United States Department of Agriculture. Our corn crops have failed this year. Our soybean crops are in trouble. The Mississippi River is so low that right now today there's 100 ships, vessels, barges, cargo ships that cannot get up or down the Mississippi River because there's an 11-mile stretch that is closed because the water is so low. Do you know in Deuteronomy chapter 28, God told Israel, he said, if you don't listen to me, I'm going to let the plagues of Egypt come upon you. I'm going to let the plagues of Egypt come upon you. And then in that article I read about the Mississippi River being closed and what a big deal that was because of all the commerce and the money and the food and the oil and everything else. Do you know when God smote Egypt, he hit the Nile. It affected the Nile River, their biggest river. Do you know in that article it talked about two places specifically? It talked about Cairo, Illinois, just like Cairo, Egypt, and it talked about Memphis, Tennessee. Both those are on the Mississippi River. The Mississippi is our Nile. Do you know in Dallas, Texas, they've started spraying for mosquitoes first time in 40 years because there's a problem out there. They're being plagued with the West Nile virus. That sounds like something they would have over in Egypt. Well, God's let it come to us. There's the sword. There's famine. You read and study about famine in the Bible, it'll scare you to death. There's famine. There's the noisome beast that it talks about. God said, I'll let the noisome beast, Ezekiel 14:15, if I cause noisome beasts to pass through the land and they spoil it so that it be desolate, that no man may pass through because of the beasts. Do you know what comes during times of drought and famine? Locust, insects. They come, they ravage, they destroy. God said, I'll let the beast. I seen one headline that said, U.S. crops being destroyed. Wait for the bugs to follow and destroy what is left. I was looking last night. There's a story in pictures of the drought that is going on in America. And one of those pictures was a grasshopper that was on an ear of corn. And it was there in the drought and showing locusts are souped up grasshoppers, as far as I know about it. I'm not a biologist or anything, but there's the noisome beast. I must quickly go on. There's the pestilence. A pestilence in the Bible is a plague, appropriately so called, because it's any contagious or infectious disease that is epidemic and mortal. That means that it kills people. On the front page of the paper today, it was talking about in North Carolina, there was an infant that has passed away with the whooping cough. How sad that is. My heart goes out. These are things that we thought we had defeated many years ago. There's flu. There's whooping cough. There's MRSA, superbugs, resistant to antibiotics. On and on we could go. There's the action. The bricks have fallen. There's the attitude. We will build. There's the after. What comes after? It's up to us. If we don't change our heart, if we don't have a revival in America, our direction determines our destination. Oh, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. That's our only hope. I thank you for listening in today. We certainly desire your prayers. We'd love to hear from you. Noah's going to give the contact information. Good day and God bless.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to reach us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's mtlebanonbc.org.